Lord, don't. Father, we just praise and glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful place that you've given us to meet all our brothers and sisters and just have a good fellowship with you, Lord, and each other. And Lord, we thank you for all the authority that you've given us, that when we pray, we know that our prayers are answered. And we praise you for that, Lord. We thank you for all the great testimonies that have been in the past and in the future coming. We thank you for this wonderful time that you've placed all of us here in, Lord. It's just awesome to watch what's being happening around us. And I praise you, Father, for that. And the supernatural is coming alive in all of us. And we praise you for that, Father God. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Lord, for your each one of our guardian angels that lets us know from time to time that they're there and they're watching over us and they're helping us. Father God, I thank you for that. And I praise you for it. And I praise you, Lord, for what you're doing in Tim and Katie. And I thank you, Father, that the enemy has been stopped in fooling with Tim anymore in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. That is done deal. And I glorify you and I thank you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for the brand new people that's going to be coming into this fellowship again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Got one new one going to be here in about 9 months. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anyone else got a prayer request? Would like to pray. Let me try to. I forgot how you. I looked that down on my phone phonetically. Anybody else got a prayer request? On, man. Everybody prayed up? All right, that's cool. We're cool for school. I guess I threw it away. I don't know how I did that. Swarovski? That ain't it. I see you laughing. Go ahead, Ben.
My sister called me
Praise God.
and she invited me out for Christmas dinner. She's doing every single sibling from our family. We're going to Swiss Chalet. It's a chicken place. And I just want some prayer over that because he's very Catholic and he's kind of a Mason or something. I don't think the subject of the Lord's going to come up because I already sent out my Christmas card. And I gave a really good witness there and testimony about the boy Jesus, the baby Jesus, the boy Jesus. Jesus is a man, and then Jesus today, and Jesus bearing fruit, and I gave them verses for each. And but I didn't write all the verses out because it would have been a long writing, so they had to have a Bible with them to go through it. I don't know if they'll talk about that, but the Lord can do anything He wants, and that's what I mainly want the Lord to lead this dinner because I'm at this point now where I don't know what to talk to people about who are in the world. And I don't want to say no because I think it was this time last year that I saw my sister. Well, that's mainly. I just want the Lord to be there with me. I know He's there with me. would need some encouragement on this. So I do ask in this, the gist of this prayer somehow to come out, but I don't know how to say it.
Well, let me pray for you. Father God, I lift up Andrew to you. I thank you, Lord, for filling him with joy, peace, and rest in his heart about going to see his immediate family. We praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for it with his siblings. And we thank you for that, Father. We ask, Father, that you put a rest in his heart and a peace in his mind about this meeting, and that he'll be just fine there. Lord, we ask that you give him the words to say, the very words that you want him to say that would be pleasing to the people there and possibly open up some minds to the word. And Father, we thank you for that. I know that sometimes when we get together with our siblings, I know I'm the same way with me. They a lot of times don't want to hear about Jesus. They want to hear about stuff of the world. But Lord, all we want is you. And we thank you, Father, for doing that for Andrew. And when he goes there, he's going to have a wonderful time. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? And he's going to eat that good food, too. And it's going to be good. Y'all, Marilyn.
I'll just attack on just a bit here, Father. More than anything, praise God. Jesus is going with Andrew. And Father, that he's filled with the Holy Spirit, that he's just all prayed up and at peace and just filled with all that joy, peace, and righteousness and in the Holy Spirit. And Father, you know, sometimes you tell us to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to wrath and offense. And, you know, you may even just have him be there and not speak a lot, but that he can observe a lot. It might be something that you would use to help him pray more specifically as he prays for his siblings. But Lord, that more than anything, he's just going to be at peace and led of the Holy Spirit, that he will hear the voice of the Father speaking to him through the Holy Spirit about whether to just not speak anything or just be weak to the weak and speak maybe even about worldly things, things that we don't really care about. But if they have no foundation to receive, we're not to cast our pearls before swine. But Father, we stand in faithful agreement with Andrew and with Ben, because these are his aunts and uncles. That Father, you're bringing men to the kingdom. It doesn't matter how you do it. We don't have to try to figure it out. When the Holy Spirit moves on them and brings them in, they're just not going to be able to, there's not going to be any hindrances or any resisting. And they have eternity. When we know and trust and believe that our loved ones are coming in because we've prayed for them, we have eternity to be with them and to talk about the things of the Lord freely. And so I just pray you put Andrew's heart at rest, and he's just going to have a great time. He's going to be glad that he went. You're going to make it clear to him, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, for putting him at rest. In Jesus' name. You know what else? Anybody else got a prayer request? They did to us. All right. Anybody got a testimony? Praise report. Yeah, they have. Yesterday. Hi, Joe. Let's pray for Joe Dombrowski. Lord, we lift up Joe and we thank you, Father, that you're bringing him along like he needs to be done. We praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, that he's making better steps in this narrow walk. We thank you for it, Father. We just pray for his car now. We pray that that car be fixed in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, that whatever's wrong with it, I know he's had to tow it in, but whatever's wrong with it, it's not going to cost much, and he'll be able to get it fixed and back on the road quickly in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that, Father, for Joe, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Is anybody having any trouble, spiritually speaking? We'll pray for everybody. Oh, okay. Well, pray for me, for goodness sake. Y'all okay? Pray for me, glory to God. Yeah, Anna, go ahead.
I just want to publicly confess I've been distracted, and thank you, Lord, that for your cleansing power, Father, Lord, that I am not of the old man, Lord, but I've put off the old man and his doings, and I thank you, Lord, that I have power in the inward man, Lord, to overcome all things, Lord, that I'm more than a conqueror. All of us, Lord, we're more than conquerors. And Lord, we've been translated out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of your love. And I just thank you, Father. I just rebuke all distractions out of my life, anyone else. Spiritual laziness, Lord, I confess that I've just been lazy sometimes, or discouraged. I rebuke discouragement too. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that when we confess, you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. And I thank you, Lord, that there's no condemnation either. I just rebuke condemnation off me and anyone else. And I thank you, Lord, that we put our faith in you, Lord, to get us where we need to be, when we need to be there, Lord. That we're all, Lord, we all have faith to be in the bride. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Give us all that faith, Lord, that we are in the bride, that we confess that we're in the bride, that we, in the desire to please you and to run after you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for all of us. I praise you, Father, for getting distraction out of us. We want to be totally fixed on you, Lord. And I know we're getting it done because you're allowing us to stay in the Word more and more every day. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Who is that? Is that Micah? Hey, boy, girl, I forgot which one it was. Girl. Oh, okay. That's a girl. Hey, Michael. Hey, sweetie. How you doing, curly? Look at that hair. Good gracious sakes alive. Golly.
She did have pigtails in, but she ripped them out, so it's looking a little crazy right now.
Awesome. Hi, Micah.
Say hi, Micah.
Hi, say Micah. Hi. I'm not talking. No way, Jose. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Katie. All right. I believe that's the first time I've seen Micah in a long time. Since she was a baby, I think. Go ahead, Joe.
Good morning, all. I'm trying to be short on this. Lord is still on my love onion is peeling back bit by bit. A couple of days, I prayed with people, and the Lord showed me to send them a message just to tell them tell them to be. If you want to know what your heart against people, pray for them, and the Lord will show you, because the word is a two-edged sword. One side is always for you. I send them to them, and it was yesterday the Lord showed me that message I sent to somebody. It was probably for them, but it was for me too as well. So when I prayed to somebody, the Lord opened my heart of my mind for people I prayed, and just show me exactly what I thought I must preach, what I was understand. So the Lord opened up yesterday again to me for when you pray to somebody for somebody with your heart, then you will know what your heart is against for people. How big the love is for you. You must have your love for others. So just praise the Lord for showing me and working at me for showing me it's more and more about love and his obedience to him. That's all. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, you know, I've been studying that too a little bit, off and on the last couple of 2 or 3 days about the love of Christ, you know, how we got to have it. And you get that by staying in with him. How you turn that off? I had the caption on, Joe, to see how you're. But I didn't have to. I could understand every word you said. Thank you, Father, for that love that you've placed in our heart for each other. Even for our enemies, Lord God, even for our enemies. Okay. Yeah, she is. 2 in March. March what? You're getting close to my birthday.
March 3rd.
Woo.
Yeah.
So 2 days behind mine. She's older than me.
Oh, really? I didn't know she was a few days behind your birthday. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I think the next one will be, I'm hoping this next baby's born on my birthday, because I think it's going to be toward the end of July. So if it was on my birthday, that'd be pretty cool.
What's this one going to be?
I don't know. I have kind of a feeling maybe a boy, but
okay.
I'm just happy whatever the Lord maybe. Gives, you know, but I have no idea.
Okay. Maybe. All right. Anyone else? Missy, did you want to play a song?
You can. I can't ever get the sound and everything to work.
Okay, anybody else got something they'd like to share while I get up a praise song? I can't see it. I can't do both at the same time. Oh, what's the name of it? All right. Y'all ready for some praise? Sorry, I had took so long, but I had to find it first. Yeah, amen. Me too, Baron, Isaac. Okay. Y'all ready to boogie for the Lord? Boogie for the Lord.
Together to lift our hearts as one.
Thank you, Lord. That's a good song. I like that one. A little pick-me-upper. All right. Who is that? What's that boy's name? I don't tell me it's a girl.
Girl.
That's what I thought. I'm real good at that. It's how much? What's your
Edith.
Name? Edith.
Edith.
Hey, girl.
Like Eden. The Garden of Eden.
Oh, yeah, Eden. That's right. Yeah, I remember now.
Hi.
Hey, Eden. See, let me get my lips on that screen up there. Hey, Eden. Hey. How you doing, sweet? Yeah, there you go. Wave. Wave hard. Get a smile on your face, girl.
Hi, baby.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Amen. Katie, did you want to read Tim's thing or wait until he does it or what? The thing you sent me today?
Do you want me to?
It's up to you. I can do it or you can do it.
Yeah?
Say yes.
Okay.
Say yes.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah.
Want me to take baby?
Yeah, if you could.
I will.
Thank you.
Hi, Michael. Hi, everyone.
Hey, girl. How you doing? Rebecca?
Good. Grandma's taking the baby.
Yeah, get the baby, Grandma. What you going to have her call? You going to have her call your grandma?
What? I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Are you going to have her call you grandma?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. Yeah.
This grandma. She's eating her shirt. Okay, go ahead, honey.
Grandma, give me a
come on, Eddie.
Piece of candy. Y'all fix to get blessed here. This is Tim's testimony of some things that's going on. Go ahead, Katie.
All right. So this was a letter that he actually was writing to his stepmom. And he, after he got done writing it, he had told me to share it with Michael and you guys, because a lot of it was his testimony and what God has been doing in his life and in him. So this was like a month or so ago now, but I finally just typed it up. So here it goes. People have said to me recently and many times before that I need to forgive myself, and I most certainly have struggled with self-hate and condemnation. This is true and will always be true. For the old Tim, I had to bury the old me and die to self. Jesus is walking me through a process of transformation and sanctification solely by his grace, in which I am being restored, rejuvenated, and healed. He has shown me that the moment I surrender my will to his, along with my heart in complete truth and spirit, that I am made brand new in true repentance and turning to him for everything. Romans 12:1-3. I have realized by his grace that my old self, my old personality, my habits, my will, my thoughts, my choices, and my emotions are not who I am and not who I ever was destined to be. I do hate the old me, the old man, no matter how many good things I did, starting off with good intentions. I eventually grew corrupt in some way, every time, a vicious cycle, lying subtly, mostly to myself, then cheating in various forms, eventually leading to stealing. I then stole from myself and everyone around me, including God. Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy, and that sounds a lot like the old me. I emulated Satan. I was killing and destroying myself and those around me. I had the seed of iniquity and sin in me. I could read the word of God, but I could never understand it or grasp it or put it into action. John 8:43-44. I was of the devil. So were my eyes and ears. That was my identity. Then came salvation. By God's grace, mercy, and favor, I have a new identity today in him. His grace drove me to seek him, a quiet stirring, now a roar. I turned to him, started to ask, seek, and knock diligently. This led me to true repentance, renouncing the world, self, and the image of Satan inside my soul through my transgressions. The Lord Christ honors and holds his covenant. I did my part in being obedient, and coupled with his overwhelming love, grace, mercy, and righteousness, he washed me clean by his blood. Glory be to the Lamb. Praise be to the King of Kings. Blessed be my rock. May the God of my salvation be exalted. After I continued in obedience for a while, being consistent in prayer and worship, continually asking, seeking, and knocking, patiently waiting for Jesus to reveal more of himself to me. Oh, the marvelous mystery this life in him is. As I became more devoted and made seeking him in all things routine, everything began to change. God's Holy Spirit began to pour out upon me. It started with a trickle at times, but as I continued in praise and worship, it began to flow greatly. Somewhere, sometimes in that obedience, I was anointed with his presence. A communion with the Holy Spirit and my spirit began. He then made the circumcision without hands, turning my secular, carnal, worldly heart from stone to flesh so that I could receive him and inherit the kingdom of heaven. Receiving the Holy Spirit for me started with a trickle, a stream where I would feel utterings, glimpses and of divine visions and thoughts. My prayers got deeper and stronger. Joy got truer, along with my praise and worship. The unbelief and doubt melted away. Then that stream would go from a trickle to a gushing torrent of water, overwhelming joy and peace, revelation, supernatural confirmations, visions, dreams, others in Christ confirming what the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. A wonderful, marvelous mystery. It took some time and healing, me staying diligent and obedient, for the Holy Spirit to pour upon me like a downfall of rain. I've heard testimonies where some would have hands laid on them, be delivered, and receive a gush of the Holy Spirit all at once. They were overwhelmed for days to the point that they could almost not function in the world, at least carnally speaking. They were so full of joy, peace, and love that they would just want to share it with everyone and anyone, and just being so caught up in the Spirit. When I received the gushes, so to speak, I would have similar experiences, but the gush or flood receded quickly. The flood would come Yeah, the flood would come, overrun the riverbank, carve out new paths, leaving behind puddles and collecting pools. Then would recede and dry up. The Holy Spirit's presence would back off in a way. I now recognize this as a learning process. The river would run dry. However, there were remnants of pools left behind. New memories, experiences, visions, dreams, revelations, gifts such as tongues, and interpretation of those tongues. I was able to drink from those pools until the next gush or rainfall would come. Just as scripture says, be prepared in and out of season, wet or dry, hold on to the gifts the Holy Spirit gives us. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It has been revealed to me. This is how he is growing me, with unique administerings, analogies, parables, tailor-fitted to my walk in him. Christ is the seed of God that was planted in the soil that he made fertile in my soul. When the river dried up, when the Holy Spirit backed off, and my collecting pool started to run dry, the roots of the seed that was planted shot down, growing and searching for his living water, for Christ, which was found through faith in his word. I dove in it and began to renew my mind, purging old memories and emotions and establishing new ones. His word established my thoughts and a transformation took place. Ephesians 4:22-24. And just when the word became dry to me in a way, like a caring, faithful gardener, Christ watered his seed, overflowing my water banks, replenishing me with his spirit. Too much spirit we blow up. Too much word without the spirit we dry up, and just the right amount we grow up, leaving the pride and lust of the old ways behind, maturing spiritually. God gave me what I needed when I needed it. John 15. The true vine parable is a beautiful representation of how he nourishes and grows us. He is the vine and we are the fruit-bearing branches. He supplies the nutrients, water, and stability to us. As we grow in him, the Father, who is the vine dresser, begins to prune us, snipping and shaping certain shoots off our branch. Painful at times, rebuke, correction, chastising, and just dying to flesh doesn't always feel good. The removal of the dead, fruitless branches and pruning of new shoots is needed for us to grow in Christ and bear good, ripe fruit of Christ. And may we forevermore be his first fruits. Without the removal of dead branches, strongholds, and self, we would be hindered and our growth would cease. This is done so that we receive Christ more efficiently, more of Christ and less of the world and our selfish branches. This pruning takes us from good to acceptable to being perfected in Christ. There is a beauty, a serenity like no other in his parables and in his words. A safety and security comes over me, washing away anxiety and fear, knowing as long as I am obedient and abide in him, he will deliver me. He is my shepherd, and I will not lack. I will bear good fruit, worthy and acceptable to the Lord. Praise God. Certainly, with impunity, the Lord is my shepherd, and I am his sheep. I have known his voice, and I will not lack. He has given me understanding that I never had before through this pruning. When I read the word before, there was no lasting impact. I lacked revelation and understanding because I did not put his word into practice. I went astray like a lost sheep, walking my own way. By his grace and overwhelming love, he left the 99 to find this beat up, wounded, dirty, weary, broken sheep and picked me up and carried me to his pastures. Luke 15. He carried me back home to him, and I don't just read the word now, I live it. By living it, my soul is made fertile, ready to receive seeds of righteousness, the seed of Christ. Only by his spirit is the seed nourished and grown into maturity. Foundation, labor, harvest. Bear good fruit. By wisdom from the Lord, he prepares our soil. Proverbs 24, verse 3. Not to labor with our own hands, but his, the vine dresser. By his understanding are we grown. Finally, by his knowledge, we are harvested correctly to present good fruit and plant the seeds for future generations. Another beautiful parable is found in Luke 8:11-15. The four types of how the seed of Christ may fall. By the wayside, carnal folks, on the rocks, feel-good folks, in the weeds, disobedient and deceived folks, or in the true fertile ground, obedient, anointed, and Holy Spirit-filled folks. Only through the Word, guided by the Holy Spirit, can we obtain the willingness to be obedient and disciplined, to build and maintain a relationship in Christ. Fertile soil, a true willingness to receive Him and His Spirit. His Word, the parables, the revelation never had impacted me. I tried to understand, but I could not fully digest and implement the Word in my life. This is spoken about in the Gospel, where there were times when the disciples did not understand until the Holy Spirit gave them the revelation of knowledge, John 16:7-15. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is one of the greatest gifts God has given to us. With conviction, repentance, and water baptism came many gifts as well. Self-edification by praying in the Spirit, along with corporate edification in assembly and speaking a message in tongues, coupled with interpretation of tongues. Other gifts such as visions, dreams, discerning of spirits, healing, testimonies, words of knowledge, wisdom, and faith. The very same that Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. Jesus truly is the way and the life. Sowing into his truth and reaping life abundantly will allow the manifestation of his Holy Spirit. All of what was written in the Word is for today, for right here, right now, including the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. For those who truly seek it, keep asking, keep knocking, and wait patiently with reserved oil, waiting for Christ and not for the world. Just as the 10 virgins await their bridegroom, Matthew 25:1-13. He reveals to us the things we need and gifts us with the Holy Spirit, giving us attributes of Him, allowing us to bear fruit. His way is perfect. His words and ways are so much higher than our ways. When I receive prophecy or utterings, be it for whatever purpose, I am being led by God and not pushed by flesh or Satan any longer. What a difference. The Holy Spirit distributes the Lord's workings. Paul gives an amazing clarification of this in 1 Corinthians 14:1-10 and 1 Corinthians 12:1-11. I pray in tongues alone in the secret place to receive edification and revelation, to fellowship with God through His Holy Spirit. Whenever I do this, I feel heaviness lift from my soul, along with confusion, anger, condemnation, numbness, and any other hindrance I am dealing with. It is renewing, refreshing, and delivers me out of the mouth of the enemy. I hear the voice of the Lord directing me to specific verses in His Word that relate to my current circumstances and correspond to each other. Most of the time, I don't even know what the verse is offhand. Then as I read it, I'm just blown away in awe that the verse I heard confirms everything I was dealing with or asking the Lord about. Pure joy, pure fellowship with God through His Holy Spirit. Our mentor and comforter brings praise and words of remembrance to our spirit. His Word truly is the bread of life. Our mentor, being the Holy Spirit, guides us through it. I shall never thirst for worldly desires or indulgence of the flesh again. I have drank from the cup of Christ and shall never thirst again. The veil has been lifted from me, the scales removed from my eyes, like Paul when he was given back his sight. The Holy Spirit has torn the veil and brought me revelation. 2 Corinthians 3:14-17. I can now and repent at night, a continuous renewing process. Glory, for the days that I don't repent, that I don't ask, seek, and knock, then I'm taking steps backwards and I'm grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Christ is my number one love. He has a reserved spot in my heart. First place. No idolatry and no spiritual adultery. No person, no place, no thing comes before him. I choose him. I choose to love him. It's a choice. Loving him is also loving others, laying my life down and serving. I would be so confused, lukewarm. Leaning on my own understanding or might would only ever end terribly. It is folly, foolishness. I need the Holy Spirit to even understand what love actually is in practice. Leaning on my own understanding and might is building my house on the sand rather than on the rock, which is Christ. Matthew 7:24-28. I shall not labor in vain, but I shall depend on him for everything. The Lord builds the house, not I. There is so much more for me to and walking in his Spirit always, repenting quickly when I fall, learning from it and getting back up and turning back to the Lord, forever growing in him, staying sober, staying vigilant, because the enemy walks around like a roaring lion seeking to devour us. Without the Holy Spirit and the renewal of my mind through the word, I would certainly still be the enemy's prey. I would continually fall into deception. But his Spirit lifts the veil and opens our eyes to see spiritually and not carnally. 2 Corinthians 3:12-17. Again, I implore you to ready yourself to receive the Holy Spirit and all of the gifts and fruit that comes with it. Anything shy of that is robbing yourself. For it is stupendous, glorious what comes when we are baptized in water and Spirit and walk in the Spirit of God. Living out his word, the relief, the clarity, the understanding of God's will and word is sanctifying, gratifying, and satisfying beyond comprehension. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are only found in Christ. Galatians 5:22-23. The true meaning, purpose, and fulfillment that I have found through Christ is indescribable, beyond anything I could have ever imagined when I was of the world. Praise God! All of these things are for everybody at any time. Total freedom. It is critical to receive it. Only by the baptism of water and Spirit are we truly born again. Only by being born again will we inherit and enter into the kingdom of heaven, here on earth, right here, right now. Don't wait. Give him your heart. John 3:5-7. The Lord loves you, hears your prayers, knows your struggles, and knows your heart. Every hair on your head is numbered by him. Make ready to receive him. Let go of fear, fear of what could happen. Let go of control. The what then and what ifs. Fear God instead and give him control of your life. Surrender your will to his and leave the pride of life and the lust with it behind and bury them. For me, self got in the way for a long time and led me only to destruction. It is hard to die to self, but it leads to life. Matthew 7:13-14. Narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. Be one of the few who find it. Choose life. He called you. Now respond to his call and choose to be chosen, his elect, his remnant, filled with the Holy Spirit. Dive into his word. Be baptized in water and Spirit, refined as silver, tested as pure gold. Receive Christ. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Follow him and truly live.
Praise God, that was a good sermon. Glory to God. I need to pass the plate, man. Yes, you tell him that was a good sermon. That is right on time, too. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
How much longer does he have, did you say?
About 5 months, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, Lord, we know that you can shorten it if you want to. We thank you for doing that. When he's ready, Lord, get him out and bring him home. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Andrew.
Is he in the place full time there, or does he work, or is he just there?
He's there full time every day, 24 hours a day. They do go out and serve and stuff and things like that. And I'm allowed to see him every Sunday. I go and see him, and I see him for 8 hours, which is a blessing because most other places you get like a 30-minute visit.
But this is a real good blessing, a double blessing for him to be able to get in such good focus on what's going on in his life and everything that he can do, you know. The Lord's really blessing him. That's amazing. That's wow.
This place is a huge blessing. It's not like a secular rehab or anything, and God totally led him here. It's basically not even a rehab. They just focus on the Lord, and they're constantly in fellowship and worship and Bible studies, and he has time to just spend alone time with the Lord. Like, he just got a new roommate. So now he goes up to the sanctuary by himself every morning and prays for like an hour and a half starting his day, just spending time with the Lord. And I'm like, that's such a blessing that he has this time to just focus on his relationship with God. So it is a big blessing, even though it's hard for both of us being away from each other, especially since we just had a baby 10 months ago, you know, but it's a blessing that we both get to have this time to just reflect and really spend time with the Lord. I view it as like a preparation time, like for when he comes home, you know, preparing myself and growing and him too. So we'll see how long he ends up being there. It might be shorter. I was feeling that a little bit ago, but.
Yeah. We'll see.
Well, continue to be blessed. That's wonderful. Praise God.
Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? We're going to have him over here to preach the word. Amen. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Anybody? Well, I can share a little something here I found a while ago. We can talk about this. Many of you know that God's word is power. This is the name of this little thing. It's just five little pages long. It's called Creative Power of God's Word by Ulysses Spann. Words are the most important things in the universe. The Bible has a lot to say about words that we as Christians need to know and understand. Words were the instruments by which God created all things. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God. God's word is powerful and filled with faith. And nine times the words "and God said" appears in Genesis chapter 1. Each time God spoke, something was created, formed, or made. The worlds came into being, were beautifully coordinated, and now exist by the command of God. Does anybody know? I'll tell you what, I'm just going to be asking some questions. Does anybody know why God created the worlds, the universe, and the earth? Yeah, Pat.
He created the earth. Well, this is what he showed me way back when I asked him. And he created the earth in order to create sons, because he wanted sons that would be completely and willingly free to love God, to love Him, and to create a people that He could, how do I say it? Have the free will to choose to love Him or not love Him. And he had to create that, this environment of the earth. He had to create the devil and sin in order to allow for the necessary opposition to God's goodness to be revealed, to provide a proper choice for mankind to choose to be with Him, to choose to live in His world, in His existence, in His kingdom, I guess you might say. And so, but he gave me, when he was kind of showing me that, he gave me the example through a couple of examples, but gave me the example of I wish I could remember that now. If he gave you the choice to have everything that you could possibly ever want throughout for the rest of eternity, if he gave you the opportunity to choose anything and everything that you wanted, and placed you on a deserted island, and he gave you the opportunity to have, well, this is kind of the way it came to me. He gave you me the opportunity to have anything that I could ever want, any entertainment, any movie, any video game, any type of music, anything. But I would never get off of that island, and I would stay there for eternity. And if you thought about that possibility long enough, eventually I believe you would get around to choosing to have another human being on that island with you through eternity, because another human being is the only thing that could provide the absolute unknown, the inability to the inability to control your next day. I'm sure I'm not really making this clear, but I think you would. When I get to thinking about it, I think God wanted to have relationship with people. And a true and meaningful relationship with people that he could only have if those people were free in their moral agency to choose to be with him or not to be with him. And those who would go through the temptations of life and finally choose to be with God for eternity are those individuals that want to remain and be with him and be in his presence. So I kind of overdid that, but that's kind of what came to me through the process.
Okay. All right. So if you were put on a desert island and you knew that you were going to be there from now till, and you were given a choice of anything in the world that you could have, you choose another person. All right, Andrew, go ahead. I saw you raise your hand a while ago. I'm pretty observant.
No, I'm taking down my hand.
Okay. All right. All right. Anybody else? I'm going to throw that question out there. Pat opened it up. I'm going to expound on it a little bit. If you were put on an island and you knew the Lord by yourself, knew that you could have anything in the world that you wanted, one thing, what would that be? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, it's pretty obvious what I would want. I would want the Lord there with me. Anyway, I sure hope he would want to be there with me. And, we are kind of in that island anyway, because we're kind of an archipelago of islands, a group of islands, and in this world. And face it, what we have to do and what we have to go through is we're all going to have to do it as an individual, but it's also very nice to be with someone too at the same time, to know that you're not the only one going through all this stuff. And we all go through pretty much similar stuff. Some people go through some harder things, and some people go through some things that you've already been through, and some people are going through some new things that you might have to go through in the future too. So, I would want the Lord with me. My brothers and sisters on the island. Because, I'd have pretty much a lot on the island. I would have whatever the Lord could provide for us, because it's his island anyway, and I'm his too. So I don't know if that was just like the classic obvious answer, but that's what popped into my head.
Okay.
I had my mind on something else, and then he said, he told me that as soon as I picked my hand up.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Anna.
Well, of course, Andrew had the best answer there. You'd want the Lord if you could have anybody. But aside from the Lord, as a parent, I can't imagine being anywhere for eternity without my children. And I imagine that God probably feels the same way, like the starting question we started out with. Why did God make us? Like, I couldn't fathom, of all the people I could choose on earth, or, just in general, I couldn't fathom eternity without my children. I suppose God probably feels the same way.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Pat.
Well, Well, it was in that time when I was thinking about that, that a friend of ours who was a nurse in a, I guess it would be a high dollar nursing home or retirement center or something like that. And she was personal nurse to a very wealthy individual. And he wanted to go back up to, I guess, at a family reunion or something on the, what was it, the Hamptons or someplace up there with, you know, there's very, very wealthy, rich people or whatever. And that, and anyway, when she was there, Mick Jagger, you know, one of the Rolling Stones, came into port on his yacht. Very big, huge yacht. On the back of it were a couple automobiles that were in. It had a place for motorcycles, and there was a helipad port on the back of this yacht. It was a very big thing. And when I got to thinking about that, he obviously sailed and, you know, sailed around, had the ability to have anything that he wanted at the snap of his fingers, could pay for anything. He had a name that would get him anywhere, into anything, any place that he wanted to go. He had the free run of the world, of the earth. He could go anywhere, do anything, and whatever. And as I pondered that and thought about that, I realized that even though that place, that would be or could be a very enviable position and place to be in, it also holds the a certain amount of, I'm not going to say dissatisfaction, but maybe minor depression, that there's nothing left for you here. There's nothing left on this planet for you. There's nothing that you couldn't have if you didn't want it, but there's a place where there's no more challenge to life, I guess you might say. When all the challenges are done and you have no more, you enter into that place of, you know, is this all there is to life, type thing? So it was kind of in that same time, and that was kind of the thing that I was thinking at the time, is that there's no more left, and that's kind of that deserted island feeling. And after, you know, after you have had everything that you could possibly want, it's almost like King Solomon had everything he wanted, and he literally drove his life in the ground because there was nothing. He was void of that need and that desire just to know God. But anyway, that was kind of the thought that I went through at that time.
Amen. Go ahead, Missy. I believe I know what you're going to say.
Okay. Your question originally was, Why did God create the earth? What was your original question, Michael?
Well, yeah, why did God make the universe?
Make the universe? The universe, is that what you said?
That's what I said.
Okay. Well, the universe is the earth. Well, God's the center of everything, but really, in reality, if I think that the earth is the center of the universe in that all of God's plan revolves around it, in a sense, you could say. But anyway, what came to me was, the reason God created the earth was to send his son, the seed, to plant it in the earth, plant him in the earth, that he die and bear much fruit. What came to me was this verse: "Very, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abides by itself alone. But if it die, it bears much fruit." Because if he didn't die, you know, he was the firstborn among many brothers. It's just what came to my mind. That's why God, you know, made the earth, the dirt. But we're the dirt too, aren't we? In some parables, we're, you know, God made, well, actually, you know, God made us out of dirt. But there's, you know, other parables that, like the one that I just said about, but that's what came to me.
Well, the Bible tells us why he made it. He made it for us. Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
I know it's in the scripture somewhere. Maybe it's in Isaiah, or maybe it's in the Psalms, or maybe it's in Ecclesiastes. But I believe that he created everything to demonstrate his power and his glory. His glory, you know, because they say the universe is still multiplying, and kind of like I was thinking how he told Abraham that if you can count the stars, right, that's how many seed, you know, the seed, your seed will be, and it's still growing, you know, still multiplying. And I just think it's just to demonstrate his power and glory. You know, who is like God? I created all these, you know, and he calls them all by name, meaning the stars. He knows them. And I kind of give that parable about, you know, we start out as stars, you know. But he calls them all by name, and not one of them is missing, and he knows them. And I just see the glory and power of God in all of his creation. Is to demonstrate life and power and his, you know, greatness. Maybe somebody has a better cohesive answer, but that's kind of what was coming to me. But
amen. Yeah, Marilyn.
Yeah, Julie, I had just gone in there to get my tablet so I could look it up on eSword. I was thinking of that same verse. It's Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That's it.
Yeah, I think there's one in Hebrews too. I'm slipping, but I think there's one in Hebrews that talks about that he created the whole universe for his inhabitants. That's us. All right. Anyone? Yeah, Julie.
There's probably a lot in there in Job too about that kind of thing.
Could be. Could be. Well, think about this. Everything that's made out there is for the earth. Think about it. And I don't discount me on this. We got a sun that's, 93 million miles away? That's further from here to Little Rock. And it's made for one thing. It's made for us on this only inhabited planet. I know there's a lot of UFO stuff out there, and people from, or things or whatever, come from other planets. But I don't believe that. I believe what the Word of God said. And the stars, he made all the stars out there for a sign for us to navigate by, to do whatever it is that we needed to do, that you use that for. And there's so much it points to what his word says, that he created everything just for his sons and daughters. And that's pretty amazing to me. Yeah, Andrew.
I like what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day by day uttereth speech. That's a real oracle there, people. And night by night showeth knowledge. In the night you have a wonderful moon and stars there. And then the day, it just fills the whole sky, even on a cloudy day. It'll let light in through the window. And you don't need your light on at high noon on a cloudy day. And it fills the sky with light, and people get around going from place to place. And his glory was first, the first glory was the best in Genesis, where it emanated, I believe, right from the Father's person before he made the sun, moon, and stars and the universe. And I think maybe that's where he maybe got the idea for it. I don't know. I'm sure he had it all planned out in a thought. Like I always think it that way, from Genesis 1 and 1 to Revelation 22 and 21 was a thought to him. And he thought about the 6 days too, which is 1,000 years per day. Well, 7 days, sorry. And that's what he did. But there's great hints in the first page. So the first page of the Bible in Genesis. It says in Genesis, I was studying this today because I did my little own, my own study on the word, because someone was teaching on it the day before. And he gave me some good ideas, and I thought I never did a study on the word of God. In particular, I just got to get this verse, this one verse here that I didn't write down in my booklet. And it's in Genesis chapter 1. It's the third day. And it says there in verse 10, and God called the dry land earth, and he gathered together the waters, called it seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herbs yielding seed, and fruit, seed, fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, wherein is the seed thereof upon the earth. And it was so, and the earth brought forth grass, herbs yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit, wherein the seed thereof after their kind. And God saw that it was good. And most of us don't collate this with Matthew 13, with the four different lands of the seed planting there. But the Lord did lead me there. And he told me that man brings forth man, and the beasts bring forth beasts, and the birds bring forth birds. But what can God bring forth? I'm going to need my glasses for this. What can God bring forth? That which is born of spirit is spirit. And it's a word that has to come to you to get this spirit that this is a small s spirit. That which is born of spirit is spirit. That which is born of flesh is flesh. God created flesh out of the earth. But flesh can't bring forth out of itself. That's the soulish self. What comes forth from God is the seed, the word that brings forth spirit in our flesh. Galatians 2:20-21. You know, it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me, and the life that I live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. And this is glory to God. And, you know, in 1 Corinthians 3:6, it says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And God gave the increase there. So then neither is who planted ought or who watered it, but God that giveth the increase. And he's got this, who increases you, who does this all. You know, and some people want to usurp the authority of this increase and take a position. And that's not really good. It's not a humbling thing to be this way. I pray that no person would want to do this at all. You know, let God give the increase. And, well, I think that's why he created the earth, because without the earth, he wouldn't have made man. He had it all planned out. And a man that has no seed in him is an unregenerated man. You know, we have to be regenerated, and we need to bear fruit from the seed that God plants in this land of ours. And spirit brings forth spirit. You know, that flesh brings forth flesh, letter, law. Well, we don't want law. That's a curse, you know. God redeemed us from the curse of the law. So we want spirit. We want the spirit. We want the spirit to grow within us. This is a spiritual walk we're on. It's a walk that has light, and the light needs a Holy Spirit oil. And we got to get some extra bottles of oil with us too to go through the future here. And only the Lord can give the increase. So if the Lord has to give us this increase, then he evidently has to give us the wisdom, the extra bottles of oil to be, put it bluntly, some wise guys and some wise ladies and, in Christ Jesus. And, we continually wait for him to produce us this way. And, praise and glory to God. That's the creation is part of us. He declares to us from his creation the glory and why he even made it that way, so that we would have an understanding of this glory and everything he created that had to go around light. The light for us is his very existence in us, as it says in John, as was even said yesterday in the teaching. In him was life, and this life is the light of men. And we wonder why, when we try to shine in front of others and in the darkness, but the darkness doesn't want to apprehend, but even the smallest amount of light will bring something forth. Why a person breathes here and is still alive, he can have light. He can have some wisdom. But if his wisdom is going to be in some older understanding instead of the new understanding that's been given to man for almost 2,000 years now, then it makes you wonder. Because God still has to give the increase. And glory to God. Praise God. for his creation. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Well, let me throw this out there. You know, if you were on an island out there and you could have one thing, not one person, but one thing, wouldn't it be better to have the Bible that gives you everything that you need? I mean, all you have to do, you know, that's the key to life. You got the Word of God. You can get food. You can get all the things that you need. Amen. All right, anybody else? You know, it's very amazing to me that God made this whole universe just for us. And he spoke it into being with his words, his creative words. And he allowed us to have that same authority. It's to create things with your word from nothing. He showed us how to do it. He showed them that he could give them, you know, the manna. I don't know what that manna tasted like, but they ate it for a long time before they started murmuring. It's coriander seed, from what I understand. I ain't never sat out and eat me a biscuit made out of coriander seed or whatever you make out of it. I expect you put gravy on it, it'd be all right. But that's what I'm saying. Whatever it is, it'd keep you alive. And something else during that time that they were out there, we're talking about words that he spoke, you know. He told them, he said, I'll take care of you out in the wilderness. And their Nikes never wore out. Their t-shirts never wore out. Nothing ever wore out. Whatever they wore, never wore out. They didn't get sick. Doctors went out of business. Hospitals closed down. The sheriff's office had to shut down because there was no, you know, nothing going on. That's our God. How long did they do that? How long did they stay out there? And nothing wore out. 40 years. Eating with Jesus, eating with the Lord every day. Going out there and picking up them, whatever, manna. I bet those women really had a time making something different with that stuff every day. I bet they did. You know, you get you some ponies on that, I guarantee you, you can make that stuff taste pretty good. But God was merciful. He brought them through all that stuff, and yet they still didn't believe God. That's amazing to me. Of course, we do the same thing. By the words we speak. Okay. Yeah, Pat.
You know, I've got, I was thinking about this the other day. Andrew kind of brought up, you know, Genesis, I think they mentioned something in Genesis. And as we were talking about, you know, this whole thing about, you know, why did God create the earth? And you know, I believe it was in order to make sons.
Yeah.
And as part of it. But when you look in Genesis there, verse 26 in Genesis 1, verse 26, it's interesting that the first thing that he gave mankind, gave man, said, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion. And and obviously, if you go through, you know, the next few chapters, you see that man, Adam, he had dominion over the whole creation, and then he gave it up to the devil. Gave it up to Satan through obedience to him. And then God spent the next 2,000, 3,000 years, 4,000 years, taking the world through the flood and raising up a family of Israel, bringing them through, establishing the law, and then bringing Christ to die for the sins of man, for the sin of giving up his, number one, giving up his dominion, and then resurrected Christ to sit at the right hand of God in dominion over everything, but yet left the Holy Spirit and here with man and the commandment and the truth that you have been given back that dominion, the authority. And in that process, now, we as mankind, as the body of Christ, are learning to become what God created in verse 26. Let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. And it's through that learning to have exercise that dominion and take back this physical world, this physical earth from the devil. And it just that whole aspect is part of the sons that God created in this whole process of creating mankind. Why did he create mankind? Why did he create the earth? To make sons. And part of that making sons is that teaching process of taking dominion over this, over the earth, and learning how to do that, learning how to walk with the Lord in that process. So the Lord's kind of taking me down a path here and showing me a few other things that in relationship to this dominion and our ability to speak forth his word and through that process restore that dominion that he has given us. he tells, the Lord told us that has given us authority to tread on serpents, which is one of the big instigators there in chapter 3 of Genesis, and serpents and scorpions, and this demonic realm. And so I just, I've been thinking about that whole process and I guess the fact that, his word is, not only life, not only living, not only our life, but it is also established law. It has the power of unchangeableness and legal authority to stand and rest in his truth, in his word. So I can see, you know, the Lord has opened a crack in the doorway, and I'm still looking through the door, I think, and I'm looking for the way to step through into that process in a more full way. So, and I think he's taking us all through this process. But it just seems like, you know, I think we're all learning more and more and more each day, even listening to the messages of late. The Lord is certainly expanding our horizons, and allowing us to see things, to understand things that he is now revealing in these last days, and it is exciting. So anyway, but I think this is an aspect that I have been seeing here lately, as far as this restoring and taking back the dominion that we have been given. So anyway, that's all.
Amen, Pat. Well, that raises another question. That Genesis 1:26 raises a big question. And God said, let us, who's us? Him and Jesus? Make man in our image, after our likeness. Anybody know what that means? What does after our likeness, after man in our image and after our likeness? Did anybody ever think about that? I'm just asking. I don't know. Yeah, Missy.
Well, it just makes me think of his nature and his character and his authority after his name. That's, you know, it doesn't say name, but it just makes me think his nature, character, and authority. That was his original intent. You know, that is and was and still is. It never changes. Plan A and it has never changed from plan A to plan B. There's never been a plan B. But that's just what it makes me think of.
Well, you've got two things there. You've got image. What does image mean?
Well, that means a lot of the same thing too, likeness and image and likeness, you know. They're very similar. Image makes me think of looking in the mirror and seeing Jesus. Well, we don't look like Jesus physically, but we look like Jesus in our nature and character too. So the likeness and image, I don't know. What is the difference?
Okay, let's see what Vanita says. She may have the answer.
I just have a short little thing. I don't know. But anyways, when you said asked that question, I just was thinking about, to be, you know, to be in his likeness is to be like God, because God brings forth God. And so we're God's. That's his likeness. And then all the things, nature, character, authority, comes with being sons of God. Amen.
Okay. Well, if likeness is like a copy, what is image? Go ahead, Andrew.
This is just a comment. This is the first verse that God gave me when I wanted to do my study about words. It's in Psalm 138 and 2. I will worship toward the holy temple. Well, we don't really have to do that. And give thanks unto thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. And I'm just saying that if we have that, as it says over here, that likeness, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And God's name is to be, hallowed be thy name. And Jesus' name in 19:13 of Revelation is the word of God. And I think from what I just said here, the word above all thy name, and plus he's going to do a 14:26 John on us, which is the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name, to remind us of all things, to teach us of all things, and to remind us of all things. And he is teaching us, and teaching gives you, he's the main teacher. I don't know. It's just a statement. I can't make this statement with an answer. But somewhere in these verses and what I just said, there's a lot of power, and there's a lot of what you can have. If he puts his word above his name, then it must be very important to him, this word. And we must, I guess the only thing I can think of is be very humble to him. A blessing, there's a blessing in the Sermon on the Mount that's a humble blessing. And there's a yoke you put on, which is the word of God anyway, so, which is Jesus Christ. So, praise God.
Amen. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I remember about from David's teaching, the one image, there's three images in the Bible. It's the one you're talking about is just a shadow. It does make man in our image. That's a shadow. But the one we would like to be is the exact copy that was talking about Jesus in Hebrews 1:3. The other one is a representation. So that one we're talking about is just a shadow of things to come. The exact copy would be Jesus, be like him. That's only three images. Yeah.
Likeness, huh?
Yeah, but when he talks, it's a shadow, yeah.
Okay. Which one's the shadow? Did you say likeness was or image?
Yeah, image. I'm just talking about the name image. It's three images in the Bible. The first one we're talking about is just a shadow, yeah. That's the one we're talking about. Shalem. Interesting. I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, Andrew. Thank you, Joe. Did you have anything else? Okay. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I'm not dismissing what Joel said there, but in the chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, it says, now that we see in a mirror darkly, then we shall see him face to face. So there's an expectation there. And this darkly is kind of shadowy. But there's something in that 13th chapter of Corinthians that that never fails. And this never failing is the first fruit of the Holy Spirit. And he's going to remind us of everything he taught us, as he sends the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name. And he puts his word above his name. Praise God.
Amen. L-U-V. All right. Anyone else? On the image and likeness.
I'm not saying that's the answer. I'm just making a comment there. Okay. That's all I'm saying. I don't think I'm there by any means. I'm just commenting on something that is perfectly right and true.
Amen. Thank you for qualifying. That's awesome. Well, that somebody mentioned 1 Corinthians 3 and 18. That's what God wants us to be like. He wants us to be like him, don't he? In every aspect. And I think we're getting there. We're all getting there. We've been through a lot. But when you go through a lot and you're still here, you know, that means that we're overcoming some things in our life. I'm waiting. I'm not waiting. I'm, what's the word I'm looking for?
Expecting.
Yeah, there you go, Pat. I knew I could count on you. Expecting. I am expecting to come into that realm. If y'all remember the prophetic word that Tiana gave, I read it last week, I think, where we would all come into that place of indestructible, healthy, that walking in divine health, all of that, coming into the likeness of God, you know, Jesus, walking in that. Not only that, he told us that he would tell us, he'd be talking to us every second telling us, if we needed to, telling us what to do, or what, you know, whatever it is that he has for us. Man, can you imagine? Call him up, tell him what you want. The thing about it is, he's going to tell you what he wants, and you're going to be able to listen and hear. I was going to tell you about something, but I don't think I need to. Anyway, the times that we're coming into is the times that we've been reading about in the Word of God. You're going to be walking, going to be on top of the mountain, Mount Zion. That's where we're climbing. We're climbing up. We keep going up. We keep going up. And we drag our brothers and sisters with us, you know. Come on, let's go, you know. And they're encouraging you and you're encouraging them. And we keep going and we keep going and we keep going until one day, very soon, God looks at you, smiles at you, does whatever it is he does to make you into that wonderful person that he wants you to be that quick. We got that from two prophetic words. Two prophetic words that he was going to do that for his bride. Praise God. I've been jumping up and down for a couple of weeks now. That means when I walk down that hill, I can come back up and not be tired. You understand what I'm saying? Go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking that the Lord is taking us through tribulation, the wilderness, learning the, and you said it a second ago, that word overcoming, teaching us how to overcome. And this restoration of dominion has the element of being able to free those, and when I say those, I say us, to be able to free those from the dominion of a realm which we have been given authority over. And it takes an understanding that only God can give us of how to release people from under, from out from under that specific realm of dominion and bring them up to where they have been given, where they are seated at the right hand of God in Christ. And that is not done through anything other than spiritual weapons of warfare. And our weapons not being carnal, but being spiritual, to the pulling down of strongholds that keep people bound under a certain level of dominion that this world has placed upon us, or the world that we were born into. And there is a scripture, you know, in Proverbs, it says something about wisdom. He that winneth souls is wise. And I know that the world takes, you know, if they even ever have read that verse, they take that to mean, well, you know, some guy that's got a lot of brains, or he's smart, or he's intelligent, and this person wins souls. But the person of wisdom is simply a person that is functioning from God's perspective, And it will be by God's perspective that people will be released and set free from this level, this existing current earthly dominion. So I don't know. I think the Lord is taking me through some, through a process here. I'm not quite sure where it's going to end, but that is all done through words, through commandment, through an agreement.
Well, I just lost my ears. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Through agreement and through agreeing with God's word and speaking forth his word of release to the captives. And obviously, before one can do that, you have to learn how to do it for yourself through the wilderness that God is putting us through. So we are in incredibly wicked times that the world, I don't believe, has ever seen before. Maybe I'm wrong, but we're in some serious opposition to righteousness in this world right now. And I just see us as in that place of time when God is putting forth that temple, that stone made without hands. It's preparing to roll down that mountain and strike the beast kingdoms on the toes and bring them down. So it's, I think we're in exciting times, any way you want to look at it. So I'm glad to be here, quite frankly. Excited.
Yeah. Don't you imagine everybody up in heaven is paying attention to what's going on down here, because they know it's almost fixing to happen. They're sitting on the edge of the clouds up there and saying, look at that. Look at what's going over there. Oh, here. Look at that, man. Look at this. Looks like they're trying to put us in a world war now. These fine, honest, God-loving politicians up there trying to get us into a war with Russia. But, you know, the Lord said there's going to be one. Born one. There'll be wars and war, rumors of wars. Isn't that what it said? Joe was putting something up in the chat there.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
It was just a free image. I did it from David's teaching, Take Dominion Now. I just free summaries of the free images if anyone wants to study that. That's very good from David.
Who being the Jesus, Hebrews 1 and 3, who being the effulgence, that's the brightness of his glory, and the very image of his substance, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made purification of sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. G5481 character. Exact copy, express image, tool for engraving. Okay. Exact copy means what? Referring to something in the spiritual. Because that's who God is. Well, we'll have to take this next time. We're out of time. To be continued. Y'all study this a little bit and let's see if we can come up with something here. on this Genesis chapter 1, or is it 10, verse 26?
126 and 27.
Okay, 126 and 27. I was close. I'm just a zero off. Lord, we just thank you for your wonderful word. There's so many things in there that we could go into and just spend days on, or weeks if we just looked at it. And Lord, we thank you for that. I praise you, Father, for your word. And like somebody said earlier, Lord, we thank you for your onion peeling of it for us. Just peel the layers off and show us the, all of the wonderful revelations in it, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing us along in this wonderful time. I know it doesn't look like Pat said, it doesn't look like anything, but it's anything but peace and prosperity. And Lord, we thank you that we know that if we're in you, we have peace and prosperity. We have rest in our rest in you, Lord. And we can sleep at night because your word says it. And Father, we thank you for all that you're doing in us. And we thank you, Father, for bringing us all into that realm of the bride. That wonderful place of refuge in Psalm 91. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father, for blessing everybody here that's in the local, it's in the outreach local. I'm going to say outreach local. And to give them a good night's sleep or a good day's work, whatever it is. And we thank you for it. Lord, we ask that you bless Tim up there away from his family right now. But Lord, we know that you're doing a work in him. We thank you for blessing him, Father, with new revelations every day, and that you would retain it in his Christ-like mind also, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for blessing us all with an overcoming power, overcome the world and the flesh, in Jesus' name. Thank you for that, Father. Be with us, guide us, direct us in everything that we do, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, y'all. Where did it go? Well, ain't that special? Ah, here it is.